With rock-bottom lending rates and fresh signs the economy may be slipping, where can we go from here?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Having already fired off most of its ammunition, what options are left for the Fed to fend off a threatening double-dip downturn? That's the big question facing monetary policymakers as they meet in Washington today. Already, Japan's central bankers have resisted pressure to ease up on their already relaxed lending policies. The Bank of Japan decided today to leave interest rates where they are. Like Japan, our interest rates have hit bottom, so where do we go from here? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer ponders one of the few options remaining.
Interest rates have been near zero since the financial crisis, but the economy seems mired in the doldrums. That's why there's speculation the Fed is going to try something called quantitative easing. It's a way for the Fed to pump money into the economy by taking advantage of the trading relationships it has with the big banks. The Fed buys different types of bonds from a bank, and to pay for them, the Fed just credits the bank's account.
It just says, here, Citigroup, I want to buy $1 million of your treasury securities. I'll just credit your account. You know, it can basically just create that money out of thin air.
That's former Fed economist Ken Cutner. He says the Fed just adds some zeros to the bank's account, and that's why some people say quantitative easing is just the Fed printing money. No actual cash changes hands. Vincent Reinhardt is another former Fed economist.
So the Fed doesn't have a printing press in the basement. It has something better.
Problem is, printing more money now could end up making our dollars worth less down the road. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
More evidence of a slowing economy this morning. The government reports American productivity declined for the first time in a year and a half during the second quarter of the year, and labor costs barely edged up. Wall Street is mulling all this over. The Dow is down 87 points, or 0.8% at this hour. The Nasdaq is down 1.3%. The S&P 500 off almost 1%. By now, you've probably heard about that strange case of a JetBlue flight attendant who stormed off the job by way of his plane's emergency slide yesterday at JFK Airport in New York. Witnesses say it happened after an argument with a passenger who refused to sit down when the plane landed on a flight from Pittsburgh. We've got an industry expert live on the line to talk about this. Daryl Jenkins is from the website theairlinezone.com. Mr. Jenkins, I wonder what this incident might tell us about how the relationship between flight attendants and passengers has changed over the years.
Well, it's certainly a stormy one for years. The flight attendants, people don't realize they have one of the most difficult jobs in the airline, and that is dealing day to day with people. And as we see flights have more and more people on them, it increases the stress of both the passenger and the flight attendant.
Well, certainly the job of the flight attendant has changed since 9/11, too, right?
Yes, it has. The purpose of the flight attendant is first and foremost a safety professional, and they're there to help people off the plane in case of an emergency, or if there are other emergencies in flight, it is their primary responsibility to take care of that. They're safety professionals. That's what they're trained in. At the same time, after 9/11, even though we have marshals on the plane, they've become a major factor in terms of keeping order on during in-flight.
Well, they tell us that this passenger wouldn't sit down after the plane landed and was taxiing. Aren't flight attendants trained to handle disruptive passengers?
Yes, they are, and they have different ways of doing it, including putting what's analogous to a handcuff on them. It seems in this particular case, the young man just kind of basically, for lack of a kinder word, lost it.
Well, Daryl Jenkins of the AirlineZone.com website, thank you very much for joining us.
Always a pleasure, young man.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
I can't remember the last time somebody called me a young man. The British government, which is struggling with massive budget cuts, has come up with a possible way to recover lost revenue. It's cracking down on welfare fraud, and it plans to encourage bounty hunters. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
We're not talking here about gunslingers for hire like in the Wild West, but this is a break with British tradition. Under the plan, credit reporting companies will receive a bounty for every case of welfare fraud they uncover. The companies will be allowed to trawl through government databases, and they'll be able to check some details of household spending. Opponents of the measure say it looks like an invasion of privacy, and that bounty hunting is un-British. But Matthew Sinclair, who campaigns on behalf of taxpayers, welcomes the move.
Getting the private sector involved in an area where the public sector and government has always struggled to effectively police against benefit fraud is extremely good news. I don't think it can be acceptable for so much money to be lost.
The government estimates that welfare cheats rip off almost $8 billion a year, enough to run more than 200 high schools and hire an extra 150,000 nurses. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Saudi Arabia's national security squeeze on BlackBerry has apparently been fruitful. The kingdom has been demanding a way to monitor the communications of BlackBerry users so it can watch for illegal activity. Now the Saudi government says it will allow BlackBerry services to continue for now. It cites positive developments in those negotiations. And finally this morning, want to make a quick $3,000? Well, just find this man a job. Cyrus Amati has been looking for work all over Los Angeles, but 9 months of searching have failed to pay off, so he's decided to pay $3,000 to anyone who can point him to a job in his field of accounting and finance. He's posted the offer on Craigslist, and he figures if it helps him find a job now rather than later, it won't be a bad rate of return. He says he's open to a nationwide job search, and he'll pay up just as soon as he has a signed contract. Now, if you've got a lead, or maybe you just want to borrow his approach, you can find the link on our website, marketplace.org. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college accountant? How does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox, and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.